Joining me in the studio is Helen Rooney. Helen, first of all, good afternoon and welcome to the programme.
Good afternoon, Donny. Thanks for having me.
Helen, most people in this country, and I will explain why we are chatting in one second, they associate marching bands, maybe something around the Christmas time, but particularly St. Patrick's Day, but it is not, as you from the Finglas Marching Band are about to tell me, it's not a one-day wonder.
That's right, Donny, not a one-day wonder. It's all year round. Hard work for all the band members. Patrick's Day is when most people would associate the marching bands with, but all other festivals during the year, marching bands participate in those as well. Particularly Halloween, actually, there are lots of different venues at Halloween for the marching bands. In the summertime, different summer events would be covered as well by various marching bands. And we're not just a marching band, we're a concert and marching band, so we have sit-down concerts during the year as well.
Now, I know that you hold one in Erin's Isle GA Club on a regular basis. You hold concerts there, and I have seen the Finglas Marching Band on, of course, the St. Patrick's Day Parade. And I spoke to Brendan, I think it was last year, from the Finglas Marching Band, and I was intrigued by the amount of work that goes into it and the things you do, the age groups, the profiles of the kids and that. And I mean, it's a great thing to get kids involved in music.
It is, yes.
It's a fabulous thing. But you're here to talk about something very special that's coming up for the Finglas Marching Band.
That's right. The concert band were lucky enough to participate in a concert in Erin's Isle with a visiting American band, the DeKalb Marching Barbs from Illinois. And they've invited us over to return the visit to them. We're going on Friday morning. 66 of us are all travelling over to DeKalb. We're going to Chicago and we'll travel out to DeKalb to meet with the band. We're having a combined concert with them on a Saturday. And then we're going to participate in a pumpkin festival parade over there in Sycamore on the Sunday. So we'll have some other social activities to meet with some of the band members. The concert band members are young people, socialised after the concert in Erin's Isle, and have been in contact with some of the members since. So they're going to catch up. We'll have some more social activities while we're over there as well.
And do you think, Helen, just to maybe move ever so slightly away from just the actual musical side of it, something like that for the young people, you know, do you think that that could have a real positive influence on them, you know, that they're going to see something different, something that's totally out of the ordinary, that could have a big impact on their life?
Absolutely. We're not just a concert and marching band, we're also a social outlet for the young people in Finglas and the surrounding areas. All the members come every Saturday for music lessons and social events as well. We try every year to have a social event outside of band. This works out quite well in that they mix with all different people. We go to competitions and different parades all through the year, and we actually call ourselves more than just a marching band. We're also a youth social place for our young people to go, taking them off the streets or anything, giving them an interest outside of the norm that they may have through school curricula.
And Helen, you know, we have seen, and I have seen, because as I said, I've seen these bands on display or on show for Patrick's Day, which is where most people would see them. And as we said at the outset, that's not a one-day wonder. To get to that standard, and I mean, it is a very, very high standard. What are you talking about time-wise, practice-wise, effort-wise per week? I mean, you're not going to do that on an hour on a Thursday night in the hall.
No, no, not at all. We begin on Saturday mornings. We take new people in. We've been lucky enough in the last 2 years to be able to take new people in on a scholarship where they can try out with us for 10 weeks free. And if they're interested, then join up after that. When you begin, you come for just 1 hour a week. You do theory for half an hour and you learn the recorder for another half. When you can read the music for the recorder, you move on, you choose an instrument. Then you'll do an instrument lesson for half an hour and theory for another half, for an hour, until you're more proficient on your instrument. Then you'll go into junior band with your instrument. As soon as you're able to play up to the standard for junior band and play your instrument while others are also playing their instrument, you can progress into senior band. And that is much more hard work for people. Senior band come to band at 10 o'clock on a Saturday morning and they march for 1 hour, 10 to 11. Then between 11 and 12, they have a half hour instrument lesson and a half hour theory lesson. And then from 12:15 to 1, they have band practice. Now, senior band also come on a Wednesday night from 6 o'clock to 8. So they put a lot of hard work into it. Now, lots of them would practice daily. Lots of them mightn't practice quite daily. But really, what we want is that people continue to come to band. We're not going to nag them to practice all the time so they'll give up band. We want people to have an interest right through their teenage years and beyond, and to keep them at it and keep them happy. If they're able to play in band, that's good enough for us.
I wonder, probably a two-part question. Number one, do you find that you now maybe have the children of the parents who were there years ago, that they're now sending their kids along? And number two, do you find that when they get into it, and I mean when they really start getting into it, and this is, they realise this is brilliant, that all that, and I mean what you listed out there, is it's a lot of work involved in it, you know, and a lot of time, but that all that work and time, that disappears out the window because they love it and they want to be immersed in it.
Yes, well, everybody that comes to band doesn't continue on. They decide it's either for them or not. And once it's for them, that's it. They're sold on the idea and they love it. And they'll come all the time and they'll enjoy it all the time. Now, everybody has ups and downs and they may be fed up for a while, but they'll always come around again. You'll see some of the children coming in on Saturday mornings with big faces on them, having to get up. But once band is over, they're going out different people. The young people are all much happier going out on a Saturday morning when band has finished. It's really uplifting for them. It's a great thing to be in.
And again, do you find it a generational thing that it's the families of those who were there are coming, that is passed on from generation to generation?
Yes, we do. Some of the young people who were in the band when it began, and it started in 1991, have children now and are starting to send down their children. And it is, for most of them, if music is in you, it's in you, and they really enjoy it. We also find that we get more people to join through word of mouth, and it's usually family members or people connected to them, and that's how we get most of our membership.
And we'll say for the trip coming up on Friday, and by the way, safe travel, and I hope you have
a
great
time. Thank
you
very much.
The likes of that has to be funded.
It is, yes.
I presume that the good people of Chicago are not paying for you to come over and they're going to put you up, so you have
we
to fund
wish.
It.
Yeah. We wish. Yes, we had to do a lot of fundraising for this. Now, all the band members had to pay their own fare and their accommodation. They could subsidise this through fundraising when they took part in any fundraising we were doing. Half of the funds raised could go as credits to the people who participated in the fundraising to be knocked off their fare. So there was a facility to reduce the fare. The fare is quite high. It's €860 if you're sharing with four in a room. And the band then have to pay the extras, the carriage of the instruments across and all the bus fares and any other things that may arise when we're out there, contingencies. The buses really surprised us. They're really expensive. We had expected to do a trip from the airport and to the airport, the two visits to DeKalb, and we also expected to do a tour of Chicago and a shopping outlet. But it just came in phenomenal, the money. So we had to do the airport runs, which we obviously need, and our two trips to DeKalb, and it came in at over $8,000. So that threw us a bit for a while.
Yeah, it smacks of public liability insurance costs in America.
Oh, I don't know.
I would
shock
imagine
anyway.
Behind that. And Helen, is this the first time that you've actually taken the whole group abroad?
No, we went to Chicago in 2014. We went to Chicago. Oh, not Chicago, sorry. New York. How could I forget? And the year of the foot and mouth, whatever that was, they went to New York as well. I wasn't part of the band then. So it's twice to New York. And we went to Birmingham in 2015. That was like clockwork Birmingham, because we just got on a bus and arrived. the plane trips now are something else. There's a lot of work needed into that to go into that.
Because I mean the amount of space and that instruments take up, like especially with a marching band, is you would want to be telling them. Let us put it that way, Helen. And outside of, I know what you're saying, like that it is prohibitive to make these yearly trips, but do you think maybe that, I mean, a place now that would be very famous for would be Scotland, because they have the piping conventions and championships are held there, and they would be into it as well. That maybe even on a more local scale, even closer European countries, that you might be able to go once a year and meet up and see.
Absolutely. I think the European countries are probably a better option because we can pack everything onto the bus and go on the bus. However, our local events are also just as good as any of the others. We really enjoy our own Patrick's Day parades, possibly more than we enjoyed the New York one, which was very official and you had to, everything had to be just right. Smiling and fun wasn't really supposed to happen. Whereas in Ireland, when you're on the parades, everyone just loves to see the band coming out, and our young people have a great time on these parades as well. They can smile and high five the people in the watching on. So any event is really a good event.
Helen, do you think that local communities and local community organisations, that they underutilise the likes of a marching band, that they could be used for a lot more events in the area?
You have me there, Donny. No, I don't think. I think they utilise us a lot. We get a lot of requests to play at different events, but we're very strict in that our members are all at school, so we don't take children out of school for any event. So that rules us out of lots of events. And it's actually the logistics of taking the band to all the things we're invited to just wouldn't work out. People aren't available all the time. Now, we do every event we can, and we like to do some community events for free every year as well. We go to some nursing homes, play for different people, that we like to make sure we get in at least two events for the community. But we can't do every event we're asked to. It's not possible. We do as many as we can, and anyone that's lucky enough to hear us loves it.
And one question for you, Helen, and it was on a more humorous side of it. Do you find that maybe there are subdivisions within the marching band where three or four might get together and say, lads, there's money to be made here if we come together as a group and play outside the band when we're not with the band? Do those subdivisions happen?
Not very often, but we do have a small band who have come together and play outside now, and they're doing quite well. Table 8, they have this band they formed themselves. All from our members are past members, so they do a bit of work. However, it shouldn't interfere with our band work.
Oh, of course not. No, I'm just thinking actually there now when you mentioned it about nursing homes, because I mean, yes, on a grand summer's day where you have a lawn that's big enough, etc., etc., you can bring the marching band. But I mean, I'm thinking maybe particularly now of sort of Christmas time, if you could get three or four of the band to go in and play for special occasions like that, or somebody having a special birthday, that type of thing. You know, there is an outlet there for the likes of that, I would imagine. And I would imagine as well that, you know, musicians are not stupid people. They see the opportunity to make a few bob as well for themselves, because, you know.
Don't underestimate the young people though, Tony. We would encourage it, definitely. But sometimes they're just not ready. When they're playing in band, they're playing as part of a team, and they're happy with their other instrument members playing with them, and they have their piece while the other instruments have their piece. It would involve a lot of practice for them to get themselves together to go in. But I definitely recommend it regularly.
And you will find that it will make them better musicians.
Absolutely, yes.
Because it's a funny thing, Declan Cahill and myself are actually doing a showband show special here on next Sunday week, the 4th of November. And it's one thing we were chatting about when we were putting it together, is that in the heyday of the showbands, like what we see now is we see a fella on the drums, we see a fella on keyboards, we see a fella on guitar, etc. But in the day of the showbands, you had to be able to play two or three instruments.
Yes.
Because there was no such thing as stopping.
Yes.
So if the guy on the drums had to go for a toilet break or a cup of coffee, somebody else had to be able to sit in, or vice versa. So, you know, I mean, there is a huge history as well of music around. And I mean, I know you were involved with the Finglas one, but I mean, if you go back, the amount of people who came out of English, fabulous musicians,
yes.
we need look no further than yeah. Aslam and Christy Deignam. So
yes,
the history is there,
yes.
you know.
Well, some of our members now moved on to a second instrument when they were proficient in their first and they're really good at it. Maybe when they got to TY year, transition year, they needed to do something for the Gashka maybe to take up a new instrument. So one of our lads now, Sam, he took up the French horn when he was doing his transition year. And now in Chicago, he's going to be playing the French horn in the parade, not his trumpet, which was his first instrument. So anything, once they practice it all, they can move on all the way as far as they want. Like one of our clarinet teachers left there last June and she's replaced by one of our other members who has progressed the whole way up, done her grade 8 and all her grades, and she's now taken over teaching the clarinets for us. So we've had lots of members who've moved on to teaching music, who've gone to college to do music, are in different bands. It's just the sky is the limit. I always say to the young people when they come in and they progress onto band, that if you can play a band instrument, no matter where you move in the world, if you want to make friends, you can just go in and sit down with a band and play with them. You don't have to talk for the first few weeks because you'll have to concentrate on your music. And it's just a really good social way to interact with others as well.
Quick question for you before you go, Helen.
Yeah.
When the kids come in the first day that they're there, what's the favourite instrument? What do they all want to play? What's the one thing that they all... Oh, I want to be on the...
It depends on what piece our class play. So we show all the new people around before they join. And if we go into trumpet class and they're playing Pirates of the Caribbean, it's always a good seller. Or if you go into maybe the euphonium or French horn class and they're playing that, it's always a good one. It depends on if they know the instruments or know the song. If it's a good movie piece they play for them to show them what to do, they'll all want that one. Some want the saxophone, they say Lisa Simpson, or the Squidward, the clarinet. And some know what they want before they come in, they want the drums. But once they progress through the recorder class, they're offered whatever their choice is, if it's available, and then they make a first, second and third choice. And they'll move along to that one. If they hate it, we'll facilitate them to try another one. But we like them to give it a good try first.
And of course, while the amount of work that the people who come and play in the band is phenomenal, also the people who look after it, run it, ensure the smooth running of it, they're often the unsung heroes. Helen Rooney, thanks a million for coming in this morning. I wish you well on your trip to Chicago. I wish you well in the Pumpkin Festival and we will talk to you. And Helen, if the Fingers Marching Band are at any stage doing any concerts or doing anything, please let us know and we will tell everybody else.
Helen,
thanks a million.
Thank you very much.